Please open your Bibles this morning to Luke chapter 12. We're going to be looking at verses 22 through 34. Luke chapter 12, starting in verse 22. Then he said to his disciples, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? If you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourself with money bags, which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches, nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart is also." Let's pray. Most glorious God and Father, as we approach this text this morning, it has many, many things that we should weigh very heavy upon our hearts. I pray, Father, this morning that each one of us would intently hear these words, that they would set their mind upon them, and that, Father, that they would apprehend what is being said here and assent to it, that, Father, they would understand who you are and what you have provided and what is to be provided. That, Father, we may live free of worry and care. That our minds would not be captivated by the concerns of this world, but by your kingdom and by your righteousness. Father, strengthen us today and help me, Lord, to speak your word plainly, that it may be understood. Do not allow my words, Father, to get in the way of your truth, but use them, Father. Use them in your hand to shape us into children that glorify you. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Do not worry. Don't be so anxious. I'm sure you've heard people tell you this before. You've got something in your life that's bothering you, and they just tell you, don't worry about it. Don't be anxious. The problem with this, and the reason it's not so easy, is because this is a natural occurrence in fallen men. We are passive by nature, and therefore things affect us. But we must understand that because of the way they affect us, it is not because of our spirit, it is but because of our sinful nature. And so we have to get our minds in the right place. And just because we understand this truth, that worry, that anxieties, that fears, that all of these things are natural to the fallen condition, that does not give us excuse. For we are those who have faith in God. We have been born again. We have been given a new heart and a new mind that is to be renewed, to be changed. And so the reality to understanding how we avoid the pitfalls of our sinful nature and the reality of worry and anxiety is to have a change of mind. It is where we set our mind that becomes the real trouble or the real solution. It is not our circumstances. It is not the situations that we may be dealing with today. It is all a matter of our thought. You've probably noticed already that the title of this sermon is Take No Thought. And there's a very specific reason for that. Because when we think about this aspect of worry and anxiety, this word, miranao, is the Greek word that is used here. Its primary aspect of, or understanding this word has to do with the way one thinks. So there's a proper translation that could be here that would say, take no thought when it says, do not worry. In other words, it has to do with taking our mind off of things that we should not be thinking about. So the word has many characteristics to it. It can be translated, do not be anxious. So when we see those two words in Luke, where it says to not be anxious and to say, do not worry, they are one and the same word. And so it has to do about being anxious, to worry, to be troubled with cares, to be looking out for, to seek or promote one's interest or things, to be caring about, to take thought of. And that's the primary focus I want us to think about, because that is the root of this word. It is not a matter of what is happening, but how we think about it. This is the whole issue we have. We talked a lot about this in Sunday school this morning. And so we need to take some time this morning to really flesh this out and understand this reality. So when I ask the question, what causes worry and anxiety? It is not the situation in your life. It is not your circumstance. It is your mindset. It is your attitude. It comes to knowledge and understanding of God, who He is and how He takes care of us as His children. It truly comes down to having a mindset that is fixed on God and not upon the situations of life. In our passages today, we will find that we have commands not to worry, not to be anxious, not to care for certain things. And then He gives us reasons. He gives us solutions. And then He will show us the result of the solutions. That's what we need to think about today. Because the reality to anxiety, especially in this generation, it appears, because this is what we hear about on TV all the time, everybody is anxious. The atmosphere of our political circumstances, the economy, the financial issues, housing, the grocery store. Everyone who's lived on a budget realizes a budget, we don't have money anymore to have a real budget. And we worry. And we become anxious over tomorrow. We fear that we won't have what we need. And that tells us, and this is what you need to be thinking for yourself, when I find myself in this very common situation for fallen men, It is because I am not trusting the right thing. I am not setting my mind on the right thing, but I am looking at the world around me and I have my mind set focused upon the things of this world. This is a very simple concept. Stop thinking about this world and start thinking about the things above. It's simple. It's just not easy because of our sinful nature. So we have to learn how to gain control, because the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. Right? And so we have to recognize the reality of our worries, of our anxieties, and understand, as we will see in this text this morning, it is a matter of our thought life. And so we start off with Luke 12, verse 22 through 24. Then Christ said to his disciples, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about the body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than birds?" So we have a command given by Christ himself. There can be no argument here from anybody. In our church, we do not see that the red letters have more authority than all the other letters in Scripture, because they are all from the mouth of God. But when we do see this, everybody, even those who want to separate those from all the apostles, will have to affirm these words are spoken by a sovereign God. And that's what we need to take away from this today. Because if we are going to understand the words here, if we're going to understand this aspect of not worrying, taking no thought. Please, I'm going to emphasize this time and time again, because when I say the word worry, when I say the word anxious, guess what happens to us? We get anxious. We worry. But we understand what this word is talking about. It's talking about where our mind is fixed. It's a mindset. It's where our thought is. Do you realize that there are people who never balance their checkbook? There are people who never look at their bank account. You know why? Because the minute they look at it, they become anxious. So the lack of their thinking about it gives them anxiety. That's the reality to all of us. It's when we focus upon something, we get anxious. And the reality is everything we focus on in this world, as it is delivered to us in this world, will produce nothing more than an anxious thought. But if we understand that every thought is to be taken captive to the word of Christ, to the obedience of Christ, then we understand that there's something we must do with those thoughts. So when we think about anxiety, when we think about worry, when we think about fear, when we think about any of these things, we always tie them to our emotion. But the reality is the emotion is worked up from where our mind is fixed, not the other way around. So it's when we begin to focus on a matter that it causes us anxiety and our emotions take hold. And when our emotions take hold, guess who's in control? It's not you. That's why when people are facing these emotions, And they are anxious, they're fearful, they care for everything. They're just bound up in this. They try to control the narrative. They try to control everything about it, not realizing in reality they are absolutely out of control because their mind is focused on the wrong thing. And so when we look at this, and the Lord says, do not worry. Take no thought about your life. What is it you're worried about? Everything that we worry about in this world is a temporary thing. I'm worried about my current financial status. I'm concerned about my health. I'm concerned about this and about that. It's all about the world. Instead, we should have our concerns somewhere else. And that's what this is going to tell us today. That is what we're going to see. Because even in these first three verses, what is he telling us? Don't worry about this. Don't take a thought about your life. Get your mind off of it. Stop it. Stop thinking about your life so much. Now, this does not tell us to not steward the things that God gives us. Okay? It's awful I have to throw that in there, but I do. I'm not telling people to be lazy. I'm not telling people to forget their responsibilities. I'm telling us, stop worrying about it. Why? You see, this is what I was saying earlier. He gives us the problem, worry, anxiety. You're thinking on the wrong things. And then he gives us explanation, and he gives us a solution. Don't worry about your life. Don't think about it. Don't have so much thought about it. What you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on it. And he tells us, life is so much more than what you eat, and it's so much more than what you wear. And then he says, it's almost like, hey, wake up. Consider. So now he's going to give us a comparison. Consider this. Don't worry. Do you not realize that the ravens, they neither sow nor reap, neither do they have storehouses or barns, and yet God feeds them. How much more valuable are you than the birds? Our Lord Jesus Christ is telling us we're more valuable than birds. And he says, I feed them. And he goes on to say, and which of you worrying? Well, let me stick here for a second. He says, you're not going to go hungry. Because if you know me, if you know my Father in heaven, there is absolutely no reason you should worry. Your focus should be on the provider, not the provision. When you're focused on the provision, you're going to worry. Because this is a unique thing about sinful men. Our sinfulness always, always says, I don't have enough. Always says we don't have enough. You could have storehouse of food, and it wouldn't be enough. As a matter of fact, if I have time, we'll go back over the parable that leads into this, which is talking about the farmer who had this bumper crop, and he tore all his barns down, built bigger ones. He says, now I've got enough food and supplies to last me all this time. And God says, you fool. Your life is demanded of you tonight. He built his storehouses for the temporary necessities of this world. Why do we live in a temporary mindset and not the eternal mindset? And then he says, and which of you? Again, this is all, remember, this goes back to the parable before it. Your life will be demanded of you this very hour. That's what he told them. He called him a fool. God called this farmer a fool for where his thought was. for his worrying, for his concerns and care. Called him a fool. That's pretty harsh coming from God. He says, and which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? What does that mean? Well, there's some translations out there that tell you exactly what it means. Basically, what it's telling you is, how does your worrying affect your lifespan? Well, if we study the sciences of the day, they'll tell you that worrying actually shortens your lifespan. Actually shortens it, is what they say. But we're not talking about them. We're talking about what he says here, because there's a more important aspect to the length of our life. When you worry about your life, whether you live or die, you cannot live for God. If you are worrying about dying all the time, if you're worrying about or not dying, if that's all you think about, you cannot live for God because you're too worried about dying. Because you cannot add one day. Did he not tell the farmer, your life's demanded of you today? Who set that day? The farmer did not set that day. The day of my death is set. I can no more take one day away nor add one day to it. So why do I worry about the day of my death? Life is more than that. Life is about living to the glory of God, not avoiding eternity. We want to live to glorify God. We don't want to avoid dying. Because the reality is you can't do that. Matthew 10, 28 through 33, so at least 31. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. But rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than the sparrows. You see how he uses this continually? He always tells you there's an issue. Christ says you have an issue. You're afraid of someone killing you, of someone taking your life. Don't fear that, but fear God, because God can take both the body and the soul and throw it into hell. Fear God, which means don't fear death. Fear God, live for God. But if you're too worried about whether you're going to make it tomorrow, that means you're not living for God today. You're not serving him. You're fearing what is to come. And the reality is this, there should be no fear for a Christian. We should not desire death, okay? But nor should we fear it. We should desire, a willful desire, to pursue the things of God, to glorify him, to serve his church. And that should be on our minds, but not whether or not we're going to be here tomorrow to do it. Tomorrow doesn't matter. Now does. What are you doing now? Are you worried about tomorrow? Tomorrow has enough worries of its own. We went to Matthew 6, it talks about that. Tomorrow has enough worries of its own. Let them worry about themselves. You deal with today. Today. And today, your job is to not worry about death because every hair of your head is numbered. Now, listen to what he says, though. This is an interesting thing. I'm going to read 32 and 33 because I found this interesting as I was going through this. Because he says, therefore. He just said, Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather him who is able to destroy the soul and the body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not a one of them falls to the ground apart from the Father's will? But the very hairs of your head are numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are more valuable than the sparrows. Therefore, so this therefore has to do with this idea of fearing death. It has to do with fearing what's going to destroy the body. And he says, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I also will confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. That's an interesting statement to be there with the word therefore, because it connects it. So what do we conclude from that? Is this a verbal confession? Because he says therefore. So he's talking about the manner of life. If we are walking around fearing death, our confession is not of Christ. Because if our confession is of Christ, there is no fear of death. For death has been swallowed up. Where, O death, is your sting? Where, O death, is your victory? He has been overturned by Christ himself. No fear of death. Though we don't pursue death, we don't fear it. And when it comes, there's not one person who's a child of God who on the day of his death will not rejoice in the bosom of Christ. And we're afraid that we might die tomorrow? Serve God today. Because if we live a life like this, then we are not confessing Christ. We are denying him before men by our very way and our very way of thinking, our very attitude about life in general. If you then are able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? You see what he's saying? You can't even do the least of these things. You can't even add one moment to your life. Not one. Not a second can you add to your life. You can do none of these things. And so if you cannot do the very least of adding one second to your life, then why do you set your mind on all these other things? This is the solution. Stop setting your mind on all these things that cause anxiety. That's why you are anxious. That's why you worry. That's why you fear, because of where your mind is. That is what this is telling us. Take no thought. So examine yourselves. What brings you fear? What brings you worry? What makes you anxious? Get your mind off of those things. Do you think by worrying you're going to change it at all? Do you think that your worry, your fear, your anxiety is going to change one bit of that? If it won't add a second to our lives, then it's not going to do anything for anything else. It only impairs us. It cripples us from serving God. That's what it does. We put barriers between us and glorifying God in everything. Worrying, fears, anxieties, those do not glorify God. Anger does not glorify God. My wife read that passage in Sunday school this morning. It does not bring about the righteousness of God. And our life is about this, about what? How do we serve God? And so these things are of your flesh, and they burden you, they weigh you down and make you ineffective in glorifying God and doing the work God has called us to do. That's what they do. If then God so clothes the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? He's indicating that worry and anxiety is a sign of little faith. It's a sign of us who are cowering to the things of the world because our faith is not upon God. When we see this aspect of little faith, it has more to do with where our mind is set than it has to do with whether we have this large amount of, whether we have a size of faith. Okay, it's not the quantity. It's how we apply it. And when we are in these emotional turmoils in our life, it means that we are looking at things we can't put faith in. I can't put faith in my bank account. I must steward my bank account, but I can't put faith in it. I can't put faith, as I said this morning, I cannot put my faith in the doctors who are dealing with my health concerns. I must put my faith in God. If God uses them, praise God. If he chooses to take me home, praise God. You see, it's all about a praising of God. I desire to remain so that I may continue to minister the gospel. But either way, praise God. You see, that's what this all comes down to. Am I setting my focus on the one who saved my soul? Or is my focus on this world that is falling and trying to tear me apart? And our flesh, when it takes it, will tear us apart. And your flesh, your sinful nature, thrives on it. Thrives on it. And do not seek, that is amazing. Do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. Once again, he's going back to this aspect that it's of your thought process. And going back to last week's sermon, you have to have a willingness. It's willful. In other words, you're denying these things that happen to us. Remember, as I started, anxieties, fears, worries, etc., and so on, even anger, those things happen to us because of the passivity of our fallen nature. That's not the important aspect. The important aspect is denying that and clinging to Christ. I will not fear, for Christ is with me. I will not worry, for Christ has promised. I will not be anxious, for God has redeemed me. See, where's our mind? If we're thinking about those things, what is there then to worry about? For all these things the nations of the world seek, and your Father knows that you need these things. A reason not to worry. I can talk about this experientially. Being self-employed for so long, we never went without food. And I can't explain how. But there were always provisions. We always got through. Praise God. God takes care of us. Takes care of this church. He takes care of each one of us as individuals. Because he loves us. So why are you worried? Do you trust the God of all creation? Do you believe what he says? Remember this morning talking about how we deal with our issues? It's a matter of trusting God. If God says this, it's true. Therefore, my mind's going to go to what God says and not to the situations and turmoils of my life. Because he said every day has its own trouble, right? We know trouble's here. How do we deal with trouble? By putting our mind in the right place. Getting our mind away from the things of the world and putting him on the things of God. That's what he's about to tell us very clearly. For all these things the nation of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need him. But seek, chase after, pursue, set your mind fully upon the kingdom of God. And if we were using the Matthew passage, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. The solution to keep us from worrying is to seek the kingdom of God. You cannot have your mind on the kingdom of God and his righteousness as well as the anxieties and worries of this world. You can't do both. You will either be at one place or the other. You will either love one and hate the other. You can't be in both places. And that is why some people who have all these anxieties and keep their mind filled with the worries of this world begin to be angry with God. They begin to hate God. And I can attest to that in my own life. I was very angry with God at one point for that very reason. I didn't think I was getting what I should have had. Now, there's some sin for you. But that's because my eyes were not on him. My thoughts were not where they should be. My pursuit was not the kingdom of God, but the things of this world. You cannot be lukewarm. You can't say, I'm going to hold on to my worries and frets and pursue the kingdom of God also. Because the things of this world are an anchor on us. They anchor us down. And we may want to pursue that, but this keeps holding us back. And our minds continually go here, and we can't even get to the things that we should be really focused on. We got to resolve worry and the anxieties and those things by seeking the kingdom of God. Do not fear, little flock. For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. You see, that's our focus. Don't fear. Look around you in this world. You will do nothing but fear. We look at our own community and look at all the crime that's starting to build up in this little community of ours. Shootings, robberies, all these things. And it can put us into a place of fear. And that's because we're looking at the problems instead of seeking to glorify God in his kingdom. You can't get away from those things in this world. This world is evil. And sin desires to have you. And when you fall into that category of fear and worry and anxiety, you have given in to sin. And it has grabbed you. And you've got to go the other direction and repent and say, no, Father, you, in your good pleasure, have said you will give me your kingdom. Sell what you have and give alms. In other words, sell all you have, give to the poor. He's telling you to get rid of the things of the world. That's what he's telling. Do good things with what you have in this world. Give them away. Do away with your worries. Do away with, stop holding so tightly to the temporary things, because here's what he's going to tell you. He says, provide for yourself money bags which do not grow old. Everybody's so worried about tomorrow. But the tomorrow we should be concerned about is the kingdom, glory, We want to fill those money bags. We want to find the real value. And the value he's talking about. So if he says sell all you have and give alms and provide yourself with money bags, what do you think he's talking about? You already sold everything and gave it away. You have nothing to put in your bag. So he's given us this extreme concept of a Christian life. In other words, don't hold so tightly to anything in this world, whether it be the things that bring anxiety or those things that bring pleasure in this world. The value of them is nothing compared to the value of God. Provide for yourselves bags, money bags, which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. This is where our hearts are to be, because he tells us very clearly, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where's your heart? Now, let's take this through all that we're talking about here, because when we think about treasures, it's a funny thing, because we can treasure up our finances. We can treasure up every dollar bill we have, but when you have worry, anxieties, and fears, and they control your life, those are your treasures. You are treasuring the worries of this world, because that's the context of all of this. But your treasure is not here. What does any of this matter? I have a hidden treasure that nobody can take. My purse is full. I have the value of God himself as my reward. And therefore, what I am building on this earth should be to honor the value of God. And I can't honor the value of God when my mind is set on all the things of this world. And I promise you, there is nothing in this world that will produce peace. Nothing. We can have our times and our moments of joy, but they're only moments. But here's the reality. When we have the peace of God, when we are living to his glory and not to the worries and the frets of this world, then even in times that don't seem good in your life, even between someone you may love, there's a peace. Because the peace between believers is not dependent upon the believers. It's dependent upon God. And we have peace regardless. That peace is objective. And even though we may tangle with one another, that peace is always there to bring us back. It's not a subjective reality. It's objective. It's there. Philippians 4. The same word is used here. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious. Take no thought. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known to men. So we have in this verse a command. The command is, don't be anxious. Don't take thoughts. Take your mind off of them. Stop it. It's our mind. It's the way we think. We have to renew that. We have to change that. Because that's what's holding us bound. What does he tell us? He gives us a solution, does he not? He gives us a solution in this passage. Because he gives us the word. But. So be anxious for what? For what are we to be anxious for? What are we to have such thoughts about and cares for? What is it? Nothing. Nothing. Again, this is not a passage that tells you to be irresponsible. It's a passage that says stop making your life about these things to where it causes you so much anxiety and worry. Get your mind off of them. God is taking care of you today. even if you don't think he's taking care of you the way you want him to. But, and here is the solution. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. We have the command and we have the solution. Everything that causes anxiety. If anyone tells you that they never have an anxiety, or they never have a fear, they never have anything, they're lying. We're not glorified yet. This is a condition of the fallen man. This is not a condition of the new man. But we have that remaining man. We have that remaining sin. And so until glory, we are going to have to battle this. And that's the reality. You have to battle it. You cannot let the reality that we are going to be, that we are going because of our passivity in our fallen nature, are going to succumb to fears and anxieties and worries. Our thoughts are going to be put on things and they're going to remain there and they're going to control us. If we think that's never going to happen, we're in the biggest danger of our life. And if you think you can use that as an excuse for staying there, then you are literally blaspheming the word of God, because he gives us a solution to it. A solution. And so he says, with prayer, supplication, thanksgiving. Don't you find that a little interesting? When someone's anxious, when someone is fretting over anything, the last thing they have on their mind is to be thankful, is it? There's nothing to be thankful for, because all you can see is what is horrible. But he says, be thankful. It is a solution to your anxieties, to your fears, to your worries. It is a solution. Pray. Give it over to God and be thankful. Thank you, Lord. I have nothing to fear, because you have defeated the sin of this world. You have destroyed this world and overcome it. There is nothing left for me to concern myself with. It is all in your hands. And then he gives us the result. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. This is the result when you submit to what he says in prayer. When you give yourself over to God and you put your focus on him, because if you're praying, you're starting to focus on God. You're taking all these things that are a burden to you and you're taking them to God. And he says, this is what's going to happen when you really give these things over, when you really make these requests known, when you really realize that you have a life of thankfulness because of who I am, then my peace, which surpasses understanding. You see, the problem we have with that too is we always think we have to understand what's going on in our lives. We have to understand why somebody's like this, or why this is happening over here, or why. Here he says, you don't need to understand. You don't need those answers to be at peace. As a matter of fact, those answers will probably take you away from any kind of peace. You don't need them. He says, just pray. Be thankful. Request to God. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. Remember, anxiousness is a matter of the mind. It does not start in the emotions. It is always a matter of the mind. And he says that this peace, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind. This peace guards your mind. See, if I have peace through Jesus Christ, what have I got to be anxious for? We forget this, and that's why I'm preaching this today, is because we all forget that our peace is found in Jesus Christ. I don't need to understand what's happening in my life today. I don't. He says, I don't need to. But to be anxious means that I don't have the peace of God. I can't have peace and anxious at the same time. They are polar opposites. Polar. And we are told to always be at peace, to be in peace. It's part of the fruit of the Spirit. If you're worked up in your mind, it's because your thoughts are in the wrong place. Repent. And set your heart and your mind where they belong. Listen to what he says here. Finally, brethren. Now he's given us a little more. Be anxious for nothing. Get your thoughts off of all these things in your life that bring you down. Take your thoughts off of all of these, this crap that is around us. Get it off of there. Brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good, of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, he gives the deepest word of intellectual endeavor. Meditate on those things. Do not be anxious. Meditate on these. So you can look at it even in some of the jargon today. Stop looking at all the negative and start looking at the positive. That's biblical truth. It tells us right here. Look, the reality is, folks, and we all know it, if we look at the things around us, the world, we look at our own physical conditions. I don't care how old you are. You know your body doesn't like you. It doesn't. My body reminds me every day that it hates me. Got a pain here, a pain there. Get out of bed. There's another bed injury. You know, it's like, and am I going to focus on that? I'm miserable then. I'm miserable. It's so easy. It'd be so easy with some of the pain that I have at times. Just say, you know, I'm done. What a life that would be. What a life that would be. I'm going to get up and I'm going to walk in the pain because I want to live life. And we need to think that way. You have got to realize your body is perishing no matter what. And you need to rise up above it and say, I've got to push to live. I don't need to push not to die. I need to push to live my life to the glory of God, for I know not the day God is going to call me home. And it may be this very day. And I've wasted it because I'm too worried about what is going on in my body. I'm too worried about what's going on with different people. I'm too worried about the world around me. I'm too worried about who the president is. None of us will remember one president in heaven. Because we'll have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Put your mind on Him and you won't find an unrighteous ruler. You'll find the holy God and Savior. Therefore, if you were raised with Christ, seek the things which are above. Set your mind on those things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind. He uses this twice. Seek, set. Seek the things. Seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Seek the things above. Stop seeking all the crap in the world. Sorry for using that word, but that's what the world is full of. That's what it is, and there's no better word to express that. And we don't focus on that kind of stuff. He tells us, are you saved? Have you been raised with Christ? Have you? Then seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on those things which are above, not the things of this world. for you died. You are already dead to this world. You're dead to it. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Take this passage. Read it. Read it again. Read it again. Memorize it. Weigh it upon your heart and weigh it upon your mind, and let it never depart from your tongue. But you may not sin against God. Recite that verse in your head for a moment, and then ask yourself, what do I have to fear? What do I have to worry? Why am I so anxious? Why so downcast, oh my Lord? I will put my trust in you. The question of the psalmist, why am I so downcast? I have a God. My trust is in him. Who have I to fear? If God be for me, who can be against me? Are these just words we like to recite, or are they words you live by? You see, the most important words of Scripture for you to live by are his promises. You died with Christ, and your life is now hidden with him in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Give up your life for Christ, because he is your life. Do away with the things of the world. Get your mind off of the things of this earth. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Look, I know every one of you. I know how you all struggle. I know how I struggle. And it's all because we forget this. The same reason you struggle is the same reason I struggle, because that verse is a verse that I have dearly loved forever, but my nature will smack me down and I'll forget it and I'll have to remember it. But if I remember that to live with the fears and the worries and the anxieties of this world is sin, that it is not what God calls us to be in peace, then maybe if I remember that, then I'll know to repent and turn to this. But if I embrace those worries and those fears, then I won't return to this and I will live in those things. And the fear of death will overwhelm me. But when I hold to this, there is no fear of death. There is only fear of life, fear of righteousness, fear of God. If we are seeking the things above and setting our mind on the things above, we have no time to seek the things of the world and to set our mind on these temporary things of life, especially the things that cause us to have worry and anxiety. For the things which are above bring peace and assurity. They focus us on the greatest treasure of them all, God himself and Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let's pray. Most glorious God and Father, praise you today. I thank you for your word, Father. Even before this congregation, I repent. Seek your forgiveness for the anxieties that burden me at times, for my worries and fears. Lord, there's no place for those when I seek your face. There's no place for those, Father, when I know your promises. There is no place for that in my life. But peace rules, because Christ himself is our Prince of Peace. Father, please overwhelm us this morning. Bring every one of us to repentance. If there's not a one of us, Father, does not struggle in these areas, help us to set our minds where they belong. Help us to focus on the things that bring peace, things that are good. Thank you, Father, for your Son, Jesus Christ. It's in his name I pray. Amen.